It's going to be a little bit different today. We haven't got one person speaking. We've got several different people sharing. I've got three things to share before we do that. In your month of prayer booklets, you'll see that there's reference to 2 Chronicles. And 2 Chronicles 20. And this was a passage that I really felt God kind of put before me in the weeks leading up to the month of prayer. And I'm conscious that we haven't read it yet. Each week we're having a bit of a theme to the prayer. We started with the prayer. There was a call to prayer. We went on last week and it was talking about fasting. This week the theme is being all in. And it's about standing firm. It's about giving him everything. And that's a theme that is really coming through during the month. But I thought it'd be just good to read this. Bonnie's going to intro it and then just read this passage of scripture to us. I'd encourage you to take it away and just meditate on it yourself.
2 Chronicles 20, the first two verses say, after this. And I thought, I've got to read what went before. I've got to go back. And we find that Jehoshaphat has made an alliance with Ahab. And it's not been good. They've gone into battle. He's done something stupid. Ahab said, look, you put on the king's robes and I'll go in a normal gear so that nobody will know that it's me. I mean, that's so stupid. But he does it. But Ahab eventually dies because of a stray arrow through a gap in his armor. And it says that when he got back, Jehu, the prophet, told him that God was angry about the alliance. But he said that there is some good in you. And Jehoshaphat, because Jehu also said that he had made a determination in his heart to seek God. That's what we're doing this month of prayer. We're determined in our heart to seek God. And he went out to the hill country from Beersheba up to Ephraim, the hill country, encouraging people to come back to God, to seek God with all their heart. And that's what that is what has been happening. It says in chapter 20 that after this, he set his heart to seek God. We've set our hearts to seek God. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Meunites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazezron Tamar, that is En-Gedi. Alarmed, and the word is terrified, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can stand against you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity come upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name. And will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt, so they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Yahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some of the Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As the Judah and people of Jerusalem, have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder, it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Berakah, where they praised the Lord. That is why it's called the Valley of Berakah. So this fact, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. The fear of the Lord came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Just as we started to read into this for the month of prayer, God gave me a word, and I believe it is a word because we are seeing stuff happen. We are seeing God move, as C.S. Lewis would say, Aslan is on the move. He is doing stuff amongst us. But on the opposite side of that, the negative side, the adversary is coming against us. And we need to be aware. Not be afraid. We need to be aware. We are come to seek God. The enemy hates it, and he's starting to do stuff. He's starting to stir stuff up, which is causing problems. But we are encouraged that the battle is not ours. It's God's. And he's calling us to stand fast and to press in to seek in his face. And we should not be afraid. We should be aware of the battle's coming. And I'm just thinking, we're only a few days into the month of prayer. And as we go in, it's going to get harder. Lies are going to become, and they're going to be propagated amongst us, and they are not true because we know where they come from. We have to stand fast. And we must persevere in prayer. You know, there's just that one phrase that really smack me right in the face. We don't know what to do, but we're looking to you. And that is it. We got families. We got children in our families that aren't walking with God. We got our brothers and sisters in our blood families that aren't walking with God. And we're trying, but we cannot see a way through. We cannot see breakthrough. And we cry out to God. We don't know what to do, but we look to you. So let's stand fast. Don't be afraid of the battle. Don't be afraid of it. We're called to it. Let's be like warriors in prayer and stand fast.
love that. That theme throughout that is in the face of this opposition is exuberant, joyful praise. Yeah? So let's take that. Let's take that because it's we're seeing this. We're seeing this sort of
battle raging, if you like. Because what are we praying for? We're praying for breakthrough, aren't we? It's to be revealed more and more through us, don't we? Yeah? That's why we're doing it. You know, and God has got plans for us. He's pleased to give us his kingdom, which means there's always going to be more of it to take hold of. For us and for this community. Hence the battle is raging. I think one of the ways we take hold of it is through prayer. Isn't it? It's this beautiful gift that God has given us. We know it's underutilized. We know we wrestle and struggle with this. But we're saying as a church in this month that we want to know more. We want to understand more this gift that God has given us. We want to walk in it, operate in it more and more and more. And there'll be a battle for that. And the battle will come at the area in the areas that we feel most vulnerable, one. But the battle will also come in the area where I believe we're going to see greatest breakthrough. Yesterday it was we were at Trelander. And it was a sweet time, it was a lovely time, wasn't it? Those of us there, good time, just such lovely fellowship between, you know, the people that come there regularly there. And we have the healing rooms running alongside. And we always pray. I was just struck yesterday how, of all of us that were there to run this event, many of us are experiencing quite a sort of long-term health issues. You know? And I started thinking, now we're here praying for healing. But actually we're wrestling. And I just wonder, because I feel that there's going to be breakthrough in this area. I wonder if the area that we are going to see breakthrough in is the area we're going to feel and sense that greatest attack. Does that make sense? I think it does. So, exuberant praise and worship. Loud, does it say loud praise and worship? We got to get our heads around that. Prayer, Ron, you're going to come and just, I've asked you to just share a little bit about what prayer means to you.
You might think that this old man who has been a Christian for just on 67 years will have all the answers. And I don't. I'm still a learner. I still wear spiritual L plates because I've got in my life hang-ups. My first hang-up depends on prayer. When I was young, before I became a Christian even, I understood prayer to be me talking to God. And I've had to unlearn that. And it's taken years. And when I became a Christian and I started to get into Christian service, I found that my other big hang-up is the same one that you've got. I'm a human being. Well, nearly anyway. And we've all got the hang-ups that come with being human beings. And the busier that I got, and the more involved that I got, so they showed up. And when I got down to prayer, I found that I was too tired to think about it. And sometimes my body played up, and I felt unwell. And I didn't want to pray. And sometimes I'd got so many things going on in my mind and in my home and in my work that I couldn't concentrate on prayer. All because I didn't understand what prayer actually is. And I tell you another hang-up which I see all around me in all the world is that as human beings we hear but we do not listen. Did you hear that at the beginning? He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And we don't. How many wonderful sermons have I listened to over the years? What do I remember of them? Nothing much. I trust, because I've been a preacher, I trust that some of what is preached finds a nook somewhere and comes up sometime in some other way. But we do not listen. And I find that that's a spiritual fault as well. What God says to us, we ought to listen to. And as I studied the Bible through the years, I've come to realize that when God says something, he actually means it. You know, I've read things and I thought, wow, that's lovely, isn't it? And done nothing about it. And I have learned through the years, and it's taken me years, to listen to what God's saying to me and take it on board. I believe God is one. And when I talk about Jesus, and when I talk about the Holy Spirit, and when I talk about the Father, I'm talking about one person. And all the attributes of one belong with the others. So if I talk this morning about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, or God, I mean God Almighty, who is in everything and with everything. And I want to say, I'm just going to say a few verses of Scripture, really, and I'll start with the one that first affected me. Matthew 28, the very end of the Gospel. Surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And I had to learn that alongside of me, and I used to talk about God at my elbow, God was there guiding and directing. God was with me. And I stepped forward a bit. Then I stopped to think about John 14. Most of these passages I'm using are familiar ones to us. John 14, and I'm only going to take little snippets out of it. The Father will give you another counselor, for he lives with you and will be in you. And I have there, he's there. He's right inside of me, and he knows me. And listen, Jesus said just after that little verse, I am in my Father, and you are in me. So that God who is there is God Almighty in my life. And I'm wowed about that. God in me. Colossians 1:27. God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And glory entered my life when I realised that. And it changed me. And my prayers changed because I realised it wasn't me talking to God, it was God in me, and we had a conversation. And we shared together. And I just want to tell you one or two verses. Please, please, when you get home, read Psalm 139. 139, the person who wrote it had got this experience of the God who knew all about him. And wherever he went, that God was with him. And I'm just going to quote one little verse because it pertains to what I'm saying about prayer. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. God knows what I'm going to pray before I even think about it. And he takes it and he transforms it. Romans 8. I'll just take a couple of verses, but another chapter to read. Romans 8, verse 10. If Christ is because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. That's where I'd had to come. This body isn't the end. Christ is the end. In the same way, verse 26, and this is the verse that really blows my mind. Verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. My weakness becomes his power. Think about that. Your prayer, weak as it may be, changes the world. Because God takes it and makes it into what he wants. And I'm learning how to pray. I don't really know it all, and I don't think I ever shall. As long as I've got this human frame, I'm going to have these spiritual L plates. And I think, you know, God is doing something in me. And there are times when God starts that transformation while I'm praying. And he lifts my prayers. And he makes them something more than I would pray them. Oh, yes, there is more to learn. But one day, it's all going to be clear. I'm going to leave you with one little verse because I think it's important that we take it on board. We've made it, we call it the grace, and we've made it a thing we just repeat. Last week, Matt mentioned in passing about the fullness of God. And this little prayer is Paul praying for the fullness of the Godhead, the fullness of the Godhead for his people. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. 14. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, you see, all of them, be with us all. Amen.
Thank you, Ron. Jodie, are you going to come?
So at the end of the service last week, I went to speak to Matt just to encourage him, because the start of the sermon was very much, I don't know whether this is just for me or whether it's for other people, about wanting God's, the hunger for God, you know, hunger for what God, the fullness of what God has for us. So I said, I want to encourage you. I was reading a book this week, and it really challenged me exactly on that. The book is called Kingdom in a Life Gone By. I did some training that was run by this gentleman. He runs an organization called the PAYS Project. They deliver lots of kind of missionaries. It's about making missionaries all around the world now. So in this book, it talks about the line and the cloud. So it says, there is a line, and many Christians commit themselves to living on this line, and I would describe this as line dwelling. We define and confine ourselves by trying to work out what we can and cannot do as Christians. And then it goes on to talk about the difference between living on the line and living in the cloud. And the book really challenged me about where I want to live. So do I want to define and confine myself to living on the line, or do I want to live in the cloud? Cloud dwelling is described as breaking free by living above the line. So, for an example, line dwellers are motivated by their questions. Do I have to give? How much is required? What guarantees will I get in return? However, cloud dwellers are moved by his questions. How much do you love me? How often do you dream my dream? And what price tag would you put on it? The kingdom of God is upside down, inside out, and back to front. So, quick question. Do you know how to hypnotize a chicken? Simply force the chicken's head down so the beak touches the ground, its eyes are pointed at the floor. Then, from that place where the beak touches the dirt, draw a line by walking it backwards, and the bird is transfixed. It remains rooted by this, to the spot, peering down at the line you've created. It will not move. He guarantees it. I don't. I have no concept. Next question. How do you hypnotize a human? Do exactly the same thing. Make them look at the line. Well, how much do I have to give? What should I fast? Social media? No, God asks much more of that. And so I was challenged, where do I want to live? Where's my hunger? Is it the line or is it the cloud?
There's a theme here, isn't there? There's a theme. Different people, very independently of one another, have to say, we put this together as I was driving in this morning. Because we wanted to give God space. And when we give God space, what does he do? He fills it. So Linda was sharing as we were praying this morning, and it just fits with what we've heard. And so Linda, come up and share it, and then we're going to spend a bit of time responding, I think. So
I was just sitting there thinking, you said wow, and I was thinking, wow, isn't it amazing how all of these different things that we're reading and hearing are all joining up together? What a good God we have, and what a God that really wants to speak to us, and when we listen. And this morning, I had a quick time this morning, because I wanted to get here for the prayer for 7:30, and this is the verse that I had to focus on. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshipping him with holy fear and awe, for our God is a devouring fire. Isn't that interesting how you were talking about, you know, worship? We're talking about a God that is unshakable. But the reflection that I had on this was all about volcanoes. And the reader that I was reading said, are you like a volcano or are you like a mountain? Because we can choose. We can choose to be like a mountain that's splendid and beautiful and filled with snow and awesome. And we stand there and we go, wow. And that is good when we're reflecting on God's creation and God's glory. But as far as that, how does that affect me? Because mountains are actually quite cold. They're quite a cold thing. Or think about a volcano. A volcano underneath that crust is bubbling and it's strong and it's hot and it's like fire. Occasionally we get a psh, don't we? If you've been on a live volcano, you get a little psh coming out. But actually underneath there is something very, very powerful. And once that volcano goes off, wow. But I read there's a crust on the top of a volcano. And that crust is like our unbelief. Our unbelief is actually stopping this volcano erupting. And the thing that struck me this morning is, what does God want to say to me? What does God want to say to you about your unbelief? Because our unbelief is stopping us experiencing, encountering the power and the fire and the changing and the awesomeness and everything of God. So what is our crust? Because we need to pray that crust away so we can experience and encounter the full power of God. And that's when we will see revival and we will see lives changed and lives transformed and all of these things that we have bubbling away in our life. If we pray away that crust of the volcano, we will experience the power of God.
And I think that that's applies to so much of what we've been talking about today. I was thinking about Alpha, and there's this kind of, for many of us, there is this, it's something stopping us getting that and going like that, isn't there? And it needs a bit of something to break through. The Alpha video mentions Ranieri Cantalamessa. Yeah, he's preacher to the Pope, and I was listening to a sermon of his recently. Somebody said it was a really good, he's a good preacher, and he was talking about baptism and the Holy Spirit, and he said this: first and foremost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a baptism of love. And you think about it: if we're filled with the love of God, that's just going to lift the lid, isn't it? Look at that person before us, and we'll say, this is life and death. And take my eyes off myself and my own comfort or whatever, and it will move me. So I want us to think about what are the crusty barriers that need breaking through. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come and reveal to us in these moments the blockages, the barriers, the areas where breakthrough is required. Every single person in this room has got them in some way, shape or form, because there's more and we have to battle for that more sometimes. So I just pray, Lord, I pray for myself, I pray for each and every one here. Where is the barrier? Where is the blockage? What needs sweeping away? So that glory that Ron shared and talked of and read of from your word can be revealed more and more in us. Yes, we'll know it in full one day, but there's a knowing of it now for us because of your pleasure in wanting to bless us and give us the kingdom, the abundant love that you pour out, lavish upon us. So just come, Holy Spirit. Just speak to us. I'm going to pray for some breakthroughs today.